Welcome to the Social Shift Podcast. My name is Andrew Rurick, and I'm your host. Today, we're talking to Casey Jeffson, the Director of Sales, Marketing, and Sustainability at Polycor. Polycor is a company with a mission to eliminate solvent-based coatings throughout the entire fabric and textiles industry and replace them with sustainable, eco-friendly options. Let's get to our conversation.
I would say that was something that I didn't realize was that important to me, but I guess throughout my whole life, I've been kind of a straight shooter, just honest with myself, honest with others. And being in this job now and just kind of saying what I truly feel, it makes me feel that who's ever listening or who I'm trying to talk to, it kind of appeals to them more versus a sales pitch, because I would say for the most part, I don't really go in trying to say specifically this or that. I kind of just more have a conversation and let them know that this is how I truly feel. And I think that it honestly has helped me personally, because I don't go in to every day thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be a hard day because I don't know how I'm going to interact with this person. I don't know what to say. And it kind of gives you, I wouldn't say, it's kind of like a safety net, because you never have to say something that you don't believe. And I would say that is the perfect thing that could have happened with me getting this job and to talk to others is, you know, there's nothing I have to remember. Oh, what did I say to this person? Because you don't have to have that problem or those worries. And I would say that's how this has aligned perfectly, like you said.
It's almost like it's no longer a sales pitch anymore. You don't have to pitch something. I feel like so often in sales, like we get turned off to a sales pitch because you can kind of tell that somebody's walking through this script. And from what it seems like you're saying, it's like, it's not a script anymore. It's not a pitch anymore. It's just what I believe. It comes from the heart. It's a lot more natural of an extension of who you are, talking about the work that you do rather than like putting on a hat and saying, okay, now it's time to talk about this thing that I, at the end of the day, you know, if I make the sale, great, it's a good number, I fulfilled a quota. Like, it's more than that. It's more than just a quota for you now.
Exactly. And one of the things that I always tell people that I'm talking to is that we're willing to help in more ways than just you buy set amount from us. Like, I'm willing to help you with marketing. I'm willing to give you as much stuff as you need to talk about your sustainability to others. I go into it more of a partnership versus, you got what you want. All right, see, I'm never going to talk to you again.
It feels like it's reframed some of the relationships that you've had at a professional level. And I am sure that trickles down to a personal level too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can you give me a little bit of background on what Polycor is and what you guys are aiming to do?
Yeah. So how Polycor started was from our founder, Arthur Chen, who used to be the main supplier and president of JanSport China, while our partner, Paul Delory, was the U.S. president of JanSport. So that's how our founder and our partner know each other so well, is because they were working together for 15 or so years while he was supplying all the backpacks for JanSport. And through this whole time, JanSport, one of their biggest things was that no limit warranty. So if you had a backpack for 15 years and it broke, then you can send it in, they'll repair it. So one of the things that Arthur always heard from designers is that I wish, you know, there was a coating that would have increased abrasion resistance, so then we wouldn't have to have all these warranty repairs. Well, one thing that Paul didn't know is that he was a material scientist, and that was kind of his hobby, was polymers and stuff like that. So then I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago now, Arthur called up Paul and said, hey, you know, I've created this coating that increases abrasion resistance by over 500%. Do you want to hop on and, you know, help with marketing and kind of branding and stuff like that? And he said, sure. And then about a year ago, maybe a year and a half now, that's when Paul called me up and asked if I was willing to jump on and help out. So it kind of worked out for both of us. But then once I came on, we went to my first trade show. I think it was our second or third trade show out in Denver. And we realized that, you know, a lot of people were interested in the coding being 500% abrasion resistance, but it wasn't really sticking that well. And then we realized that it was 100% environmentally friendly. So that's when we kind of switched and transferred our whole marketing and planning into creating sustainable products for the environment.
And so why, I guess, what was so appealing to the partners that you're working with about that change from just something that's more abrasion resistance? Why did the environmental aspect of it, or the sustainability aspect of it, why was that so attractive to the partners that you guys are working with?
Yeah, I think the most attractive part of it is that it really interacts well with consumers. It really makes people and consumers nowadays are so focused on sustainability and what their core values are, that if companies affiliate with these core values, they're more willing to purchase more, even if it is more expensive. So that's what really got them going, because they see how kind of the turn of the tides are versus generations. Yeah, baby boomer generation, where, you know, that sustainability and stuff doesn't really matter as much. And then you have the millennials, where it's starting to change a lot more, where it's, we don't want to use plastic bottles, we don't want to use plastic straws. And then you have the Generation Z that's coming up, that's like, why is our world like this? Global warming's a huge deal. And everyone wants to create a change, and they're making sure that when they purchase stuff from a company, that they're actually trying to create change as well.
With that, you'd mentioned that, you know, folks seem to be willing to pay a premium for products that are more environmentally friendly. Do you see, or I guess maybe a better question is that, As business models are shifting to a more sustainable and environmentally friendly supply chain, is that ability to sort of have a premium upcharge a driving factor? Like, hey, we can charge more for this? Or is there, do you see, just working behind the scenes, is there like a genuine desire from the corporate standpoint to be more responsible in the way that they are sourcing their products and the things that they're using? Or is it purely economically driven? Or maybe a bit of both?
I would say that from the standpoint of just as a corporation, when they see that sustainability may be more expensive on the front part, just in the supply chain, to them, it's hard to kind of create a movement, because they're so used to having everything set already. You know, we know how much the coating's going to be. We know how much the fabric's going to be. Now you're telling us you want to change our price at the store because you want us to add this in. It's a little bit difficult in that, but there's a huge, huge perception that sustainability is expensive, just based off of how things are. Everyone, you know, assumes that we have to use these water bottles that are $30, $40 to buy, versus why can't we just buy this plastic water bottle at the store for $3? So there's always that driven factor of sustainability being expensive. But one of the things that I'm trying to show is that there's other ways that you can offset that, maybe bottom line at the start versus on the back end. So that's kind of the hard part right now, is to kind of show corporations that there's other ways that you can kind of keep everything the same, just tweak things in different areas.
What, as you're trying to reframe that narrative, what are some of the ways that you see that being effective?
I would say one of the ways that it's effective is just having more brand loyalty for consumers, and then also showing them that there's other ways that you can reduce waste. If it's, you know, just possibly recycling, if it's, you know, getting energy efficient light bulbs to kind of reduce electricity costs, just other residual factors to kind of bring that down, and kind of just show them that it is important, and that it is something that you should try to do everything you can to move this forward.
Let's take a step back really quick and walk me through a little bit. We've talked about it some and kind of danced around the core product of Polycore. Like, what is it specifically?
So yeah, we have a couple products, but our main product that kind of branches off to our other products is our Eco Coating, which is a water-based polyurethane that increases abrasion resistance by over 500% and is 100% environmentally friendly. And what I mean by that is because we aren't using fossil fuels, so the standard in the industry right now is solvent-based coatings, which is just oil-based coatings. And ours, instead of that, is water-based, so it is water-soluble. So we're not putting anything into the ground at all in the coating process. We actually don't release any volatile organic compounds into the atmosphere, which is a main component of our reduction of the ozone layer. And within that, we actually talked to someone at a trade show, and he's like, you know, I don't do a lot with fabric, but he's in more of the apparel. And he's like, is there a way that you can get this onto the face? So what we did was we took our Eco Coating, put it on a laminate that people can heat press into selected areas if they want to have increased abrasion resistance. And then that's what trickles down into our other products is we have Ghost Nylon, which is discarded fish netting, which is in the oceans and seas that are just left there. If a fisherman, you know, has a tangle or cut in a line, they just cut it and lay some more line for miles. So we're trying to get rid of a lot of that's in our ocean that's trapping and killing millions of marine life a year. And then we infuse that with 70% recycled nylon, and then that's coated in our Eco Coating. And then our other fabric is recycled polyester. That is what you see a lot of standard, just recycled water bottles. But one of the things that we're doing is actually tracking it from where it's actually getting picked up. If it's Cuba, Chile, Panama, wherever people are picking up all these water bottles, so we can trace it and then have more marketing for our partners.
It gives you more of a transparency in the supply chain, like kind of this from day one, mile one, you've got this transparency in the supply chain of where things are being recycled from and how they get from, you know, the beach and wherever to your backpack or jacket or whatever, mm-hmm. what have you. What are some of the most, I guess, from a consumer standpoint, so if I'm going to buy a product that Polycore, one of the Polycore products is in, what am I going to see it used in?
You would be able to see it used in primarily backpacks and hiking bags. We are really focused specifically in that area just based on the outdoor industry. A lot of the outdoor industry is already focused on environmental impact and sustainability, especially for if it's state parks or, you know, just hiking trails in general. Those are the type of people that we want to influence and show them why it's important and what's actually in their backpacks.
I had a previous conversation with a business and sustainability journalist, and he had kind of said, like, yeah, you know, it a lot of the outdoor apparel companies or the adventure apparel companies or what have you seem to have a vested interest in sustainability and environmental friendly supply chains, because like without an environment, their whole industry doesn't exist anymore.
Oh yeah, for sure. Exactly. And especially the point too, a lot of the consumers in that industry are very, very focused on helping the environment. They're willing to go the extra mile to understand where the product's created, how it's created, what's the supply chain doing, and all of that. So that's the main part, like you said, going back to transparency. That's kind of the whole ball game, because a lot of people nowadays, it's kind of the hot keyword, it's called greenwashing, which they're kind of just putting, you know, window dressing on their sustainability with, you know, if you buy our product, we're going to plant so many trees to help the environment. Well, it's like, in all reality, you're still hurting the environment with what's actually in your guys' products, which is the hard thing right now. And that's one of the things we're also trying to show consumers is just learn about what's going into things. Learn what solvent-based PU means, what durable water repellency is, because DWR is very harmful for the environment and what's going into our soil and ground, what's going into our atmosphere, why are things happening the way they are? Because a lot of people, you know, for me, when I first started, you know, I just had a regular backpack. I didn't think twice, you know, and you look at these companies and be like, oh, they're doing great. They, you know, have green as their background, right? When they, you go on their website, they have to be doing stuff correct, right? But in all reality, it's kind of those things where you dive in a couple pages in and then you realize like they actually really aren't doing as much as they actually can be.
What are some ways, you know, once you get to page 3 or page 4 and you see that there is a company that is participating in that greenwashing, what are some ways, one, that we can be aware of when we see greenwashing in action? Like, what are some I guess buzzwords that we could be looking for? Mm-hmm. Or maybe some practices that sound good and maybe even look good, but aren't tactically as good as we think they are. That's part one. And then part two, what are some ways that we can hold companies to higher standards and better practices? What should we be asking of them, or what should we be looking for?
Mm-hmm. So for the first part of the question, when you log on to a specific page or website or company that you're really focused on getting a backpack or gear or any apparel from, is to, I would say, specifically go straight to their sustainability page and see like what they're doing and see if it correlates to actually what's in their product. So that's what I always do, is I go and read their sustainability page. For the most part, it's kind of the same anywhere that you read, which is, you know, they're focused on their supply chain, they're looking to reduce their environmental impact, they're willing to try to do everything they can to, you know, bring it down. And then a lot of it, you'll see kind of like spindles of fabric where it's like, we use recycled polyester, we use recycled nylon, we use all recycled fabrics. And then you go to their product page, and most of the time you'll see, if you go to like the actual specifications, it'll be like 600D recycled nylon coated in PU, DWR, and it's just like right there, it's bingo. You aren't doing everything you can. You're actually hurting the environment. You're actually kind of going against what you just said on your sustainability page. And a lot of times you also see when you go to that page, they won't even put what they're putting for a coating. And that to me is a straight bingo. They're not even, they know it's not good, so they're not even putting it on their website. And then what was the second part of your question again?
The second part is, once we're more aware of some of those practices, what are some ways that we can hold the companies or the organizations or the brands that we shop from or that we want to continue supporting to a higher standard or a better practice? What are some ways that we can help shape and influence what the companies that we buy from do?
I would say, honestly, just let them know. If it's an email to their customer service, if it's commenting on Instagram, and if they have a brand new product out or something like that, and be like, are you guys using eco-friendly coatings? Are you making sure that everything's, up to the high standard? I know Bluesign is a company that does very well. They make sure that everything is in the supply chain is up to standards, but at the same time, they're also making sure that everything is with the codes of what's going on right now. In one way that they're doing well, but at the same time, there's also more change that we can do. And I'm not going against Bluesign at all. We make sure that our supply chains and facilities are all Bluesign approved, because that's one of the things that is very influential as well right now. But I would say just going towards the company and just kind of starting the conversation, I think, is the main part, in letting them know that it is important to not just you as a person, but as a human being on this earth.
What are some resources that you know of or that you would recommend? I mean, you had mentioned Bluesign, but what are some other places that, you know, I as a consumer could go to check in on the places that I shop from to see what they're doing, if you have any off the top of your head.
I don't have any off the top of my head, but I would say two companies that we have partnered with is the Conservation Alliance and Climate Neutral. We made sure to be a part of that just to, one, help and show that we are willing to go the extra mile on helping what we say that we're doing. And that's kind of the tricky part too, is that a lot of these companies are doing a lot of great things and pledging money, but we make sure as a coating and fabrics company, we want to do that as well. And that's, we got with this group Climate Neutral, and what they do is help offset our carbon emissions. So what we did was we committed to joining them, and we're actually a certified brand now. So what we did was we offset all of our carbon emissions that we had throughout 2019. And we're going to be doing that as well in 2020 and then so on. And those are just a couple of the things of just kind of walking the walk, not just saying that, you know, we're focused on helping create sustainable change, helping the environment, but we're not willing to actually donate and focus and actually promote these companies as well to have others do the right thing. So that's why we thought it was a crucial part to become part of these companies.
What do you see as some of the biggest challenges, both in your specific industry and that we are facing as a culture and worldwide?
Yeah, one of the biggest struggles is just creating that change, trying to promote and have people understand that everything isn't great with what's going on. Everything is, like I said, you know, a lot of companies are doing more recycled fabrics now, and they're promoting that, but what are they coating it in? They're coating it in fossil fuel solvent-based coatings, which is basically taking one step forward, two steps back. So I would say that that's the biggest challenge and struggle, because it's every day. Every day, you know, if it's on social media, if it's on our website, just to create different ways of trying to say the same thing that will maybe latch on to someone and kind of, you know, kind of take it on their own and being like, this is something that we need to do. I need to go and take this up to my superior, or I need to get on this right away. That's kind of the point that we're trying to hurdle, I would say. And I think that that's how it is in anything, specifically in sustainability, is just showing people that sustainability can be good, but it also needs to be done the right way. And that's, I think that's the biggest thing as a world, that we need to realize that we have the ability to do it all right now. It's just the point of, are we willing to?
And to kind of counter what you see as some of the biggest challenges, what are you hopeful about as you look at the direction that we're going, as you look at the changes that are in fact being made?
Yeah, it's kind of the good with the bad with, you know, this whole pandemic thing going on. It's really opened a lot of people's eyes of global warming, sustainability, environmental impact, because it has shown that there has to be a change. It's not just something we can keep talking about and kind of in one ear out the other. It's kind of brought it more to the forefront, which I think is awesome. And that's really brought a lot more promise and a lot more, I would say, motivation for us to keep striving and keep going.
To learn more about Polycor, their eco-coating, Ghost Nylon, and other products, check out their website at polycorsolutions.com. The Social Shift Podcast is a production of Third Shift Creative. Start a conversation by sending an email to hello@thirdshiftcreative.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Social Shift Podcast, and we'll see you next time.